Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Getting out of the rut. How many feel like you're in a rut? How many feel like it's just like it's got to stop somewhere? It's got to end. But you feel like you've been in this rut of life, and you may know people that are in that really need your prayers. But getting out of the rut of life, sometimes we get into a situation where it seems like it's just not moving, it's not changing, or it just feels like we're stuck. Well, I want to share with you about how to get unstuck, okay? And I'm glad you never got stuck on the way to church here. Amen. So anyway, let's look at John 5, 1 to 9. Let's read this. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew Bethesda. It would be, Bethesda is a real rendering. But anyway, having five porches. And Bethesda means the house of kindness, of great kindness. Amen. The house of great kindness. So, verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Now listen, life is full of ruts. It's easy to fall into a rut and a difficult, and it's sometimes hard to get out of a rut. And we've been there. Some of us been there in our past, and some of us find ourselves from time to time getting stuck in something, in a rut. And you can fall in a rut at work. You can fall in a rut at home. You can even fall in a rut at church. Ruts are created within the boundaries of hopeless routines. So sometimes it's like the routine just goes on and on and on and never changes. And sometimes it discourages us. It brings oppression. It brings things against us that we would just need to break out of that. One day Jesus met a man stuck in a rut. For 38 years, the man had suffered from paralysis, and his dreams had slowly evaporated. Can you imagine waiting by the pool for 38 years and waiting to get into the pool? 38 years. And we know people that have been stuck in a rut all their life and nothing has ever changed. And we know that sometimes, even as Christians, we can get in a situation where it just seems like it's never ending. It's the same old cycle we've been in. Unless we break the cycle, we'll be stuck. And you got to break the cycle. No matter what that cycle is, no matter what that rut is, it has to be broken. I wondered if this crippled man still imagined what it would feel like to walk to Jerusalem or to run through the fields of grain or something like that, or even kick his leg over a branch or a tree. I can imagine going through his head. And people wondered what it would be like, and they dreamed what it would be like. This man probably wondered what it would be like to dance at a wedding. What it would be like to be free or be whole, just sitting there for 38 years. And I'm thinking, wow. And Jesus saw all the people there, but he saw this one man. He saw this person by divine revelation that he'd been trying for 38 years. to do what he needed to do. The years took a toll on this man. The man's future dangled by the thread until Jesus said this. He challenged him, rise up, take up your bed, and walk. That's what I call getting out of the rut. Let's look at some things. He said, get out of your rut. Just get out of that situation. Get out of the hopeless routines you're still stuck in life. And many of us can have just simple things that we get stuck in, and we really need to make a change on it. But sometimes change is hard. It's not always easy. Write this down. Take it. The only way, people, that there's some things to get out of the rut is this. Take an honest look at where you are. Some people live in denial, and they will not admit that they have a problem. Well, I don't have a problem with alcohol. Well, I don't have a problem with drugs. Well, I don't have a problem with this, this, and this. I said all those things. I don't have a problem. Well, Jesus can't heal something where you don't have a problem. He can't set you free where we don't have a problem. But we sometimes live in denial, and we think, well, I'm okay. You know, I can get through this. I can change this. I can get out of this situation. And we find ourselves in the same old, same old, same old. Or we know people that are in that. And it can be our own families. There's times that I've watched through the years, and I watch family members, and I'm thinking, I don't want to be there. Verse 6, this is what Jesus said. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to get set free? Do you want to be free from this or that or whatever the rut is? He said this, the Passion says, when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that the man had been crippled for a long time. So Jesus said to him, do you truly long to be healed? Do you truly long to be healed? And I was reading down in a later verse in John 5:14 later on, after the man had left, you know, and the Pharisees came to him and they questioned him, how'd you get healed? They knew this man was crippled. How'd you get healed and who did this? And he said, well, I don't know who did it, but some man did it and prayed for me and I was healed. And then they kept questioning him, and finally Jesus ran into him. And here's what Jesus had said this. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning is what he told him. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now that was the only time, I think, one of the times that Jesus questioned somebody about their sin. The man was in this predicament because of what he had done in his life. Now, I'm not saying all sickness or all whatever is caused because of sin. But what I'm saying is, this was a man that he went to and he said, stop it. Don't ever do that again or something worse will come on you. So we know that there's things that when we get stuck in a situation, it affects us. And it affects those around us. We think it isn't hurting anybody, but it's really hurting me. And it affects us when we really look at it. Jesus knew that this man was in a situation for the longest time. It was time for this man to make a decision that would either set him free or he would stay in bondage. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be free. I'd rather be free. Jesus asked a question that seemed kind of insensitive. You know, it's kind of like walking up to somebody. He's been in that situation 38 years. You said, do you want to be made whole? Well, of course I do. My mercy, why would you ask a question like that? Well, the guy had every excuse why he couldn't. He was still living in the past, living in a situation, living in the rut, but Jesus did it for a reason. He did that for a reason. He questioned, do you truly long to be healed? Now, why did Jesus ask such a question to a helpless man? Could the answer be because the man's honesty? To find out where we really stand, where we really are? Well, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'll get through this. Am I really being honest with myself? When I say everything is okay when it's not okay? well, you know, it's just, you know, one of those things. No, we need to admit to God that we are in a rut, in a situation we need help. God's not condemning you for it. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. And so when he asked that question, he wanted to see what this man's honesty was all about. Jesus forced him to face his true condition. He forced him to face his true condition and to answer to a deep gut, serious predicament that he was facing in his life. Unless we admit where we're at, we're never going to go where we need to be. Well, that's just being negative. No, it's saying, Lord, I admit to you that I can't do this. I need you. How many times have we cried out to God and said, God, I'm in a mess. I can't do this, but you can. I need your mercy and I need your grace. And that's why that place was called the house of loving kindness. Jesus showed up. He is the most loving kindness person that you could ever have in your life. Amen. That he cares about every need, every area of mankind. He cares about where they're at. Listen, wellness and healing meant change. Now, if people don't want to change, they're never going to get healed. If they don't want change, it's never going to happen in their life where they're going to be free, but they'll keep going in the same old cycle, same old, same old, same old, same old. And some people never get out of that cycle. Sometimes you just got to break it and say, enough is enough. Now, we know about generational curses. We understand what a generational curse passed down in a family. My father and my mother were alcoholics. But I said to myself, when I gave my life to the Lord, I refuse to be what they are. And I found myself in that struggle before I found the Lord. Even after I found the Lord, I struggled and struggled. I don't have that struggle anymore. It's broken. You don't have the same struggle you used to because God broke it in your life. He broke that by the grace and mercy of God. But if I would have continued feeling sorry for myself and never made a change, I would be with the rest of my friends after 30 years class reunion have never changed in their life. Their marriages are gone, everything shot, and they're worse drinkers they were than they were back then. It was like I was back in high school again with my friends. Nothing has changed. And Jesus is the changer. He's the only one that can break and get us out of the rut and change that whole cycle. So wellness and healing means change. And the man or woman, any man or woman unwilling to be changed is unlikely to be honest with Jesus. We're not being honest with ourselves and with others. Sometimes people, even us as Christians, can miss out on the blessings of God because we're pretending where we're not instead of confessing, admitting where we really are and taking responsibility or owning up to the situation we're in. We need to recognize where we need to be. We need to recognize it. And I remember when I was struggling with alcohol, I finally went to the Lord and I said, God, I'm an alcoholic. I'm having a hard time. I need your help. And when I admitted that I needed change, and change was only going to come when I admitted where I was, I knew I could be where I needed to be. By just going to the Lord. And you can go to God on anything, and God will meet you. But he will not meet you if you're not willing to change. He cannot meet you. He cannot heal you. If you're not willing to change, admit you got a problem. We all have to do that. We got to recognize where we need to be. Write this down. Being honest with yourself and others is the first step out of the rut or your hopeless routines. being honest with yourself. How many times have we finally been honest and we saw God come through every time? He has. James 5:16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored. Until you get it out and confess it and bring it to the Lord and be the woman and man of God that God has called us to be, sometimes you got to go to somebody and be accountable and say, I need to get free from this. Does that make sense? That is one of the greatest scriptures right there. Confess to one another your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. Restoration and healing will not come until I go to God and say, I'm the man, I'm guilty, I need your help because I can't do it in my own strength. And that's when God shows up and says, that's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that you're willing to allow me to be the God in your life that I need to be. Amen. The second one is stop waiting for ideal circumstances. How many of us have waited for ideal circumstances and they never came? Verse 7, the sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. We're waiting for ideal circumstances. Passion Bible says, the sick man answered him, Sir, there's no way I can get healed. For I have no one who will lower me into the water when the angel comes. As soon as I try to crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me. And you know how many people in life are in this situation because they're waiting for the ideal circumstances to get out. They're waiting for somebody just to change the whole thing, and it isn't going to change until I change it myself. Amen? It just ain't going to happen. You know people like that. I know people. And you just want to grab them and say, listen. And then I got to grab myself and say, listen. Because I'm in the same boat sometimes. Sometimes we defeat ourselves by what we believe and speaking what we see and believe instead of by faith. The man's reply shows us that his attention was not fixed on Jesus, but on the circumstances around the pool. We get our vision so fixed on the problem and the circumstances that we can't even see what Jesus wants to do. We miss the whole thing. Listen, there's not a person in here, even me, that sometimes we get our focus on the problem and the circumstances. It's hard not to. But we got to get that off of that and get our focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking away from all that will distract. I think I can stop there and just go home. Looking away from all that will distract. There are so many distractions in the world. There's people that just want to distract you from moving forward in God, and they don't even know it. There's so many distractions out there that keeps your focus off of God, but on the problem and the circumstances. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our what? Faith, giving the first incentive for our behalf and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. I cannot grow in my faith if my focus isn't on Jesus. My focus has to be on him. He was convinced, this man was convinced, that the only way to get out of the rut of paralysis was to claw and to crawl into the water faster than everyone else. Competition was fierce, and someone always arrived at the pool before he did. What the man didn't realize he needed to know was that circumstances can't transform withered legs. Sadly, many people remain in a rut spiritually and emotionally because they put their faith in the situations instead of in the Savior. And that happens. If we wait for ideal circumstances before taking a step out of the rut, let me tell you, you'll remain frustrated by every outcome that comes your way. You just be frustrated. Let's look at Joshua 3:15. The Jordan overflows all its banks during the harvest season. When the priest who was carrying the ark came to the edge of the Jordan and set foot in the water stopped flowing from upstream. Sometimes, people, you just got to step into the water. You got to step into the water. You got to take a step of faith. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how it seems. It doesn't matter the circumstance of the situation. It only matters that you take a step into the water and say, Jesus, I put my trust in you. I'm taking a step of faith. When the priest carrying the ark stepped into the Jordan, the waters backed up. And they walked on dry ground there. It didn't happen until they stepped into the water. See, it's amazing how God is a faith God. He never does anything until you make the first move. Come on, God. He told the man with the withered hand to stretch it forth. The man couldn't stretch it forth, but when he tried to stretch it forth, he was healed. He made him do something he couldn't do. And everywhere you read in the Bible, they took a step of faith and God met them right where they were at and carried them through. That's how he works. He's not going to come down and change your situation. He wants you to take a step of faith and trust him that he will deliver you and set you free and bring you through the mess. How many times I told God to take something away from me, I could just see God looking at me. You know, what are you going to do? All right, God. What are you going to do? Number three, trust Jesus, his word immediately. Trust Jesus, his word immediately. Verse 8 says, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. The Passion says, stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and you will walk. Immediately he stood up, and he was healed. So he rolled up his mat and walked again. Isn't that amazing? Acts 14:8, let's look at this. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached, looked straight at him. Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, stand up, and the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Now listen, you'll notice something here. Paul was preaching the word of God. And you can look over the crowds and you can see somebody. You can just see that somebody is listening intently. This is what it says. And they're just glued to you. You know they're receiving. They're receiving the word. Some people, it just goes over their head. Some people are not even hearing. They're thinking of so many different things. But not this man. This man was picking up everything Paul said. He'd been crippled since birth. He never walked. I would want to find out what this God's about. And so he listened to Paul, and Paul was looking right at him, and the man was looking at him, and he perceived that the man had faith. And so he jumped down and said, "Hey, stand up." And when the man that was crippled was trying to stand up and he stood up, he got healed. Now, I want you to notice something in both of these. Jesus gave the man a powerful command that was for 38 years to stand. You will notice that the man never got healed or out of the rut until he stood up. Do you notice that? I've read that so many times and never paid attention to that. The man never got healed until he made a change and a decision to make a stand. And when he made a stand, he got healed. He didn't get healed so he could stand. He stood first and made a decision to make a stand, and then he got healed. He's taking a step of faith, stepping into the waters until the waters part. That's what this man did. He stood up. When you're in a rut, you've got to take action to be faithful the instant that Jesus speaks to our spirit and our heart. And when you, have you ever heard the Lord speak to you and he said, "Do it now. Do it now." And when you go on that revelation, there's a miracle right there. It's a revelation. Sometimes I'm not listening. And I miss it. And we all do. If I would be sensitive to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would say, "Adi, I can do this faster if you'll just listen to me." Why? Because I got so many distractions and things out there pulling me this way and that way of this thinking and that thinking instead of focusing on Him and saying, "Holy Spirit, I need your help. What do I need to do?" Amen. What do I need to do? Acknowledging where I'm at, but also making a decision to change or do something about it. Being faithful when Jesus speaks to your heart, His promises will speak to your heart, but you got to act on the word. You got to step out in faith. You don't have time to figure it all out. Take the risk of being obedient, because you're never going to figure it out. I've tried to figure it out and go, "I wonder how I could fix this." God says, "Let me fix it." A rut feeds on doubt and uncertainty. It dines at the table of hesitation. We hesitate because we're waiting for better circumstances. God says, when He says, "Get up," you can count on the power of God, people, to be there, enable you to pick up your mat and walk. When we stand up by faith, when we stand up by faith, the man took a step of faith at the word of the great physician Jesus. He could not move out of the rut and move forward in life until he stood by faith. And he received his miracle when he made a stand for the Lord. What miracle do you need God to do? We're waiting for God to do it for us. No. Step out into the waters like the men carrying the ark in the Jordan. When the priest stepped into the waters parted upstream. But not until they stepped in. The man that stood up, Jesus said, "Stand up." He could have sat there and said, "Well, you don't understand, God. You don't know where I've been and where I am, and you're telling me to stand up when I've been by this pool for 38 years? Yeah, because I'm the miracle worker. But if you make a choice to stand up, I'll meet you where you're at, and you get your miracle." The man did it. He stood up and received from the Lord. Your important moment occurs when you make a strong-minded commitment to God. Your choice affects your present condition and your future state. You and I must choose to trust Christ with the direction of our life. Or instead, you will allow the rut to make the choice for you. One act of true faith is more valuable than 38 years of wishful thinking. One act of faith is more valuable than 38 years of wishful thinking. I just wish that I could change this. I just wish that I wasn't in this situation. I just wish that this would change. It can, but you've got to make the stand by faith and watch God do it. Amen? That makes sense? All of us got to take that step of faith. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, I've got to listen to the voice of the Lord and step out into the waters. Step out into the waters and watch God part the water. I don't know what you're dealing with, what you're going through, what you've been through, but you don't have to stay there. I don't have to stay there. We all make decisions that cost us dearly. I've made wrong decisions in my life, and it costs me. But thank God that God isn't holding those decisions against us. But don't allow those bad choices and decisions to keep you from moving forward and distracting you from making a step of faith. Don't let that happen. Few people have the courage to seek out change. Most people won't change until the pain of where they are exceeds the pain of change. Isn't that true? It's not easy. Every one of you in this place understand pain. You all do. We've been there. We don't like it. It's a part of life. But we have somebody that helps us through the most difficult, painful times of our life. And we grow stronger through it. We may not think it when we're in it. Right, hon? How many times did I say to you, well, what's this going to do for us? Don't look at me like that. You did it too. And then you catch yourself and say, Lord, forgive me. All things work together for good to them that are called according, that love God, are called according to his purpose. We don't think they do. When you're in the pain, you just don't understand it. You don't like it. I don't like it. But when you get through the other side and you're looking back and you go, I understand more than I did when I was going through it. None of us like it. But if we don't make the change to stand in the situation we're in, it'll never change. You'll be like the man that sits by the pool for 38 years wondering what it would be like to be free like everybody else. We choose. We make choices. And that's one of the things that God never took away from me and you is choice. You know why? He's not going to come down and do it. He already did it 2,000 years ago on the cross. He finished it. He said, it's finished. I don't have to beg God. I don't have to do anything. I just have to trust him, step out, and believe God, admit to him where I need to be and where I'm not. And God will meet you every time. He will meet you. Do you think it shocks God when you tell him a problem? Do you think it shocks God when you admit that you're struggling with an area of your life? Are you kidding? He knew it way before. I didn't surprise God. Well, Lord, I didn't want to come to you because I really didn't want to talk about it to you because I really didn't want you to know. Yeah, right. You might as well tell him because he already knows. He just wants to hear you say, I need your help. Amen. Listen, people, it's only by mercy. And it's only by his grace that we do what we do and we are who we are. Amen. You guys are trophies of God's grace. You're trophies of God's mercy. You are changers. You make decision and choice that are for the better, not for the worse. That's who you are. That's who I am. When you see people going down another road, and that's the choice they want to make, you can't do anything about that. That's their choice. But you have to make the choice yourself to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. As for me and my house, we're going to make the choice that we're not going down that road, that road, that road. We're not going to be distracted by the world, the things of the world. But our focus is on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And that's where my faith comes from. And that's how I make a stand in faith to do what God said to do. That's how that works. Can I hear an amen? Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for the privilege and the honor to trust you. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, Lord, we hear your voice saying, stand up, rise up. We hear that voice. And as we take a step, healing comes. Restoration comes, emotional healing, breakthroughs come, miracles come. Things happen when we step out in faith to meet you where you're at. Father, I pray for every person in this place. Lord, give us the strength to rise up. Give us the strength during the battle, during the circumstance, situation we face every day. Lord, give us the strength to make the right choice to do the right thing so that we don't go into bondage, but Father, we're free from bondage. Father, we thank you. We give you honor and we give you glory for this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.